I want to thank Brother Mark for two things this morning. Well, really, maybe three things. I appreciate him standing up here beside me because he makes me look better. And I appreciate all of the research he's putting into the hymns, because I'm enjoying what he brings to us, because he shares the expression of faith, of love and hope and trust in God from people from ages past. But when we hear the words that he's bringing to us, we realize they are just like ours. There is no separation of time when it comes to faith in God and trust in God and a heart that looks up to God. And I pray this morning that we will look up to the Lord too, and that we'll do so in the proper manner. I have two texts today that I'll be sharing, a few others that will be sprinkled in, but our two main texts will be from the Gospel of Luke. And if you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to follow along with me in your Bibles, and if not, follow along on the PowerPoint too. These are some stories that I think we're all familiar with, but they talk about the conditions, number one, of our heart. And they talk about God's grace. And they talk about faith and our need for Him. All these things we need each and every day. But you know, so oftentimes we take so much for granted in life, and these kind of go to the background. We're not as grateful as we should be, as thankful as we should be. We don't recognize God's providence in our life the way that we should. And we don't always walk in a way for others to even see our faith, do we? Every single day the Lord gives us, we need to stop and reflect on how we're living our lives and on our faith and our trust in God, and take that time to be thankful to Him and to pray for Him. And that means more than just once a day, folks. It should be almost a continuous conversation as we live the day the Lord has given us. I pray that we can do that. And I'm going to start off about a story where I want you to try to put yourself in this person's place. And I say it quite often, you know, when a sermon is preached, you pray it's for everybody in the church, and it should be. It might be for somebody who's on Zoom and not even here today. You don't know. I pray that it is to somebody, though, who will reflect on their heart. And we all need to be reflecting on our heart. And we need to put ourselves in other people's places sometimes to do that. If you think about anybody in your family, if you think about any friends that you may have, whatever circumstances they're living in right now, how does that compare to yours? Does it suddenly make you more thankful? Does it recognize maybe that God has blessed you and answered prayers in your life? Or does it make you think, I need strong faith right now and I need the prayers of other people? We all go through these different circumstances. This person was in some terrible circumstances as we turn to God's Word this morning. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. I want to read verses 12 through 15, and I'm going to read and I'm going to stop and want to insert some explanations as we go through this one. This story is also found in Matthew and in Mark as well. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. And this is an encounter with Jesus. And it happened when he, that's Jesus, was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus and fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And I want to stop right there for just a moment. There's so much in this sentence that this man has just stated. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You see, the man saw Jesus. And maybe he had heard of Jesus. But however it was revealed to him, he goes to Jesus and he calls him Lord. And there's a lot said already in that. If you are willing, you know, we pray God's will be done. If you are willing, do we pray that? You see, this man has leprosy. And he goes to God and he says, if you are willing, Think about a leper for just a moment in those days. Now, I know most everybody here knows what leprosy was. But it, until recently, when I say recently, within the past 100 years, it was an incurable disease. When a person had leprosy, they had terrible skin conditions that became necrotic, and you lost parts of your body. Fingers and limbs and ears and noses, they would fall off after enough time. It was really like the walking zombie movies like you see today, only they had their full mind and consciousness. They weren't incapacitated because of drugs. But it was a horrible condition. They were considered unclean. They were considered contagious, which they were. Sadly, they were considered spiritually unclean, because oftentimes in biblical days, they thought, well, the disease that they had was a result of some terrible sin in their life. They were excluded from worship. They couldn't go to the synagogue. They couldn't go to the temple to offer any type of sacrifices. Nobody would hire them. They couldn't have a job. They could not live in their own house or in a house with anybody else except there was a leper. And that's one of the reasons they had all these leper colonies. They were excluded from everyday life. And they subsisted and got by the kindness of strangers who gave them scraps of food or whatever things that they could get. It was a miserable existence. But this man saw Jesus. He saw the Lord and he cried out to him. When he saw Jesus, I have phrased it this way. This man's faith reached beyond his condition. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Is our faith that strong, folks? To reach beyond whatever condition that you might be in? Look what Jesus did. And this says something about the compassion of our Lord and Savior and about who he was. Then he, being Jesus, put his hand out and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. Folks, Jesus literally reached out and touched this diseased man that society had labeled as untouchable. And it speaks to us today. And it speaks to the condition of our hearts, because your condition doesn't prevent Jesus from accepting you and healing you. We are all diseased by sin. We all need the Lord. And Jesus accepts us when we, like this man who had leprosy, turns to him. I want to say that again. Just like that man who had leprosy was diseased, we are diseased too, because none of us are perfect. We all have a sinful nature in us that we struggle with, and sometimes our hearts are filled with sin. We need our Lord every single day, folks. But your condition doesn't prevent you from going to God. And when we turn to the Lord, he will accept us, just like he did this man. And just like Jesus said in the Gospel of John, all the Father who gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Sometimes our pride gets in the way from taking us to the Lord in prayer. Sometimes we think, I've gone so far astray that he won't accept me anymore. And guilt keeps us from going. There's all kind of excuses that we make. But the truth is that when we go to the Lord, we find grace. We find mercy. You see, it takes a humble heart to do this. And it takes a little bit more. And I want to bring that out in our next text. Now, as we finish reading in verse 15, that completes this one. However, the report went around concerning him all the more. See, he charged the man not to tell what he had done, to just go to the priest and make an offering. But word got out. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Great multitudes. Don't you sometimes wish that would... And I do believe that's happening today, because we keep hearing that more and more younger people are turning to the Lord, returning to the church. I pray it will continue. But don't you wish that great multitudes would turn to God? Let's pray for such a thing to happen. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn over with me to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 17. And here we find a similar encounter regarding leprosy. Only this is a much more known story. But folks, it's so rich and there's so much in it. And it talks so much to us. I pray that the Lord will help me to see some of the things that we need to see. How it talks to our hearts, especially. Now it happened beginning in Luke chapter 17. I'm going to read verses 11 through 19. And again, I'm going to read and I'm going to stop and insert some explanations and back up. I want us to clearly read between the lines, so to speak, about what's contained in this encounter. Now it happened as he, that's Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And there's something, I want to stop there, because there's something important that we need to think about. Samaria and Galilee are north of Jerusalem. And I think we all know from our church history and what we've learned over the years that the Jews did not regard the Samaritans at all other than except with bitter disdain. They did not like the Samaritans, and the region of Galilee was filled with pagans, with Gentiles. Yet Jesus had been up there preaching and healing. You see, he did not avoid outcast people, broken people. He intentionally walked through places that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jewish nation as a whole avoided. The places where the Gentiles were. Me and you. Jesus went. And it's true to us today. And I want us to think about it. Jesus meets us where we are. And he meets us in our struggles and in our pain. No matter how desperate this situation may be, like these people that had leprosy, it doesn't separate us from God. He is near. And he's ready to extend grace and mercy to those that turn to him. I want to stop here and say something else. I didn't pick the songs today. Angela picked the songs, and she had no idea what I was preaching on. But how I can see how the lyrics and what we just sang tie in with our message. I look up to you, Jesus. More love. Give me more love. In the middle of the loss that Brother Mark shared in the history, the person is looking to Jesus. Don't we want that kind of faith? Yes, we're suffering pain and we suffer heartache. What will heal our heartaches and our pains? It's the Lord. He meets us where we are. Folks, when you encounter a situation and you are suffering through heartache, don't think that the Lord is not with you. He's still there. Perhaps it's a trial to turn you to the Lord. You never know in life. We have trials that we have to struggle with for whatever reason they may be it for your benefit or for somebody else's. But turn to God and ask for prayer to help him with the trials. He's there. In verse 13, what did these people do? These 10 lepers. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now I want you to think, I've already asked, if you think of some people in your life that you know, or maybe you think of a time in your life when you just felt desperate, when you didn't know where else to go, do you call Jesus Master? You see, sometimes it's human nature to just suddenly want to draw within ourselves and think, oh, poor me, oh, pitiful me. Why is this happening to me? Well, folks, things just happen in life. We get sick, we have diseases, we lose loved ones. Things happen that we don't want to happen. But life is filled with joy also and blessings. And even when we have these awful times in our life, the Lord is still there. Just like he was with Job. You go through every patriarch and matriarch of the Bible. They had their struggles. Yet God was with them and he strengthened them as he needed. These lepers were just like the first man. They were in a horrible condition. They evidently were in a colony, a leper's colony. And they must have heard about Jesus and all the other people that he had healed. And they cried out to him and they called him Master. You know, when you're in a bad situation, when you're hurting, you're looking for somebody who can help you. That's a person that maybe knows things that you don't know. Or is more capable of you for whatever it is. Maybe it's a doctor, you don't know. Maybe it's somebody to give you advice to get you out of the predicament you're in. You start looking up, don't you? These people were crying out. And their cry was the cry of desperation of brokenhearted people that had no hope. Because no other people could help these lepers to heal them except maybe give them scraps of food or something to eat. They had no hope. And what was their cry? Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Folks, when we face challenges, prayer is our lifeline to God. Have you ever thought about it that way? Let me just ask you, have you ever, I can remember times when I was young and was swimming. For whatever reason, I might have swallowed some water, and for a moment, you start coughing and you feel a little panic. And if you happen to be by the rope in the lake that you grab hold onto, it's a lifeline. Or if you're at the edge of the pool and you grab hold of the side of the pool, it's your lifeline. It gives you stability in that moment of panic. Folks, prayer is our lifeline to God. And the Lord hears those who cry out to Him and seek Him. So where do you go when you need help and guidance? Sometimes the Lord blesses us with the people in our lives. You might be that guiding light and the voice that somebody else needs desperately to hear. But you have to be willing to share your faith and share biblical values and perceptions to do it. We can't hold it in. You see, these desperate times that we encounter and other people encounter, they can all be made somewhat better when we share our faith. Folks, we all face challenges. We need the comfort of God's Word. Psalm 145 tells us, the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. And you see, there's a distinguishing factor there in truth. When we just call out to God because of something bad happened, and that's the only time you're praying, you go months in between times of prayer, that's not seeking Him in truth. If you're praying to God to help you with something that is not truly a need, but is some want just to further your lifestyle, that's not seeking God in truth. When we pray for things that aren't biblical, we're not seeking God in truth. We need to always be praying, Your will be done. Lord, if You are willing, like the first leper that we read about was, God, if You are willing. You see, we need to pray for the right motivations in our heart to know what to pray for. But the Lord is near to all those who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. Now let's keep reading, okay? We've just touched the surface so far of this encounter. Jesus responds to them when they cried out to them, Master, have mercy on us. Verse 14, so when He saw them, He said to them, Go, show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now I want to stop again, because there's a lot that happens in this right here. How does it apply to us in your lives? You see, Jesus responded, and what did He do? He tested their faith. He said, Go, show yourselves to the priest. Jesus didn't just heal them immediately like He did the other leper when He touched his hand. No, He said, go. We don't know how far a walk that was where they were from the leper colony. Probably a long ways away, because the priest didn't want the lepers anywhere close to him. He said, go show yourselves to the priest. He instructed them. And it required an act of obedience and faith on the leper's part. Now I want you to start thinking about yourselves or other people you may know. Because, folks, miracles happen when we walk in faith. When we walk in faith. You see, what did the Scripture just tell us? And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. So do you act in faith? Only you can answer for your life, for yourselves. The lepers were not healed while they stood still. You see, action was required. But as they took steps of faith and obeyed Jesus, the healing came. If you remember the story of when Joshua is crossing the Jordan River, the priests were carrying the ark, and there the Jordan River was swollen at flood stage. It was a rushing torrent of water because of all the rains and very difficult to pass. Not because the Jordan River is huge, it's really not that big a river, but when it floods, it can sometimes get a mile wide. And there's so much brush along the edges of the river. And the water would cover all those brushes. And so stepping out, it would be easy to get tangled. But yet, here this rushing water is, and the Lord has instructed Joshua to go over this Jordan River. And the priests are standing on the edge of the Jordan River carrying the ark. And the water is rushing by. How are they going to do it? But they obeyed God. And the text tells us that the moment that the priest's toes touched the water, the river stopped flowing. You see, sometimes we have to step out in faith and act before the miracle happens. The same thing was true for these 10 lepers. True faith always requires action and obedience. God often calls us to step out in faith before we see the miracle, just like these lepers, just like the Jordan River. And it happens in our lives too. Because see, when we can't see the full picture, that's when we are really stepping out in faith, isn't it? When we can't see where the next step really is going to go. Let's read verse 15. And think about for just a moment what's happened. They're following Jesus' instructions. They're going to the priest to present themselves. And as they walk, all 10 of them are healed. And now verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Folks, I want to point out a couple things here. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, but there's some deeper things, I believe, hidden between the lines too. Out of 10, only one person returned to give thanks. Only one person. This man's gratitude set him apart. And I think it's evident in people's lives too. Sometimes the acts of what they do. Because it starts revealing motivations in their heart. Maybe the other people were so enamored with their newfound freedom because they were free of sin and disease. Their whole lives were changing. A blessing would come upon them that they had not encountered for many, many years. Everything was changed because Jesus healed them. Maybe they were so caught up with that. But this man's heart drew him back to the one who gave the blessing. You see, he starts talking about gratitude. And gratitude is a mark of a transformed heart. It shifts our focus, importantly, from the gift to the giver. And that's why I said it separates this man and made him stood apart. Think about your life. Are you more, especially when you're a kid, are you more thankful for what you get or for the person that gives it to you? What means the most to you in your life? You see, it should be reflected in our hearts. It's appreciation. It's gratitude. Gratitude leads us to worship and to a deeper relationship with the Lord. Well, how did this man respond? It says he returned. He went back and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. This man knew that Jesus was Jew. How unexpected this was. The only person that was grateful was a Samaritan, a foreigner who was despised by the Jews, who would have nothing to do with them. But this man was grateful. You see, it applies to us. It applied to him too. Backgrounds and status and traditions have no bearing to God. They don't mean anything. God looks on the heart. Does He see a grateful heart inside us when He looks at us? I do, and I say this sincerely. I pray every day for every one of us in our church and in our families and all throughout all of the family of God, that we will have grateful hearts, hearts that are filled with the proper gratitude and humility that we should have every day that God gives us, but especially when we go to worship Him. Are we filled with gratitude and humility that is due our Lord and Savior who died for us? You know, I'm going to say just, it concerns me. Some people approach church and they go to church in such a flippant manner. They're going there to socialize. They're going there to talk about the whatever's going on except church. Yes, they love God. But they want to take God down and put Him on equal footing with themselves. That's not who God is, folks. No, God reaches down to us, but make no mistake, He is God and we are not. And we need to worship Him as our Lord and Savior, as the one who can heal us when nobody else can help us, as the one who gave us life to begin with and gave us a gift of faith. We need to have reverence in our hearts, and especially in our worship. And we need to have humility and gratitude in our hearts. Now, only you can answer if you possess those things. I think everyone that's here does. But I can say I see sometimes in people, they do not have the proper humility that they should have. Or especially gratitude. Never forget, God looks on the heart. Now, in verse 17, the man has fallen at His feet and is worshiping Him and pouring out his heart and giving thanks for what he had been blessed with. And in verse 17, Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And He said to him, "Arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, I see several things in this statement from Jesus. I see that He expected gratitude. Of course, Jesus knows all things. And He knew that there wouldn't be any. From evidently, these other people may have been Jews. And they didn't return to give any gratitude to Him, thanking Him. Only one person came back to give thanks. And I want to say this in a very, I hope, revealing way. Ingratitude is a sign of a heart that has forgotten the source of its blessings. And oftentimes that's because there's so many of them. You see, sometimes, folks, we are not as grateful to the Lord as we need to be because we live in such an abundance. People that are in poverty are thankful for everything they get. People whose health is failing are thankful for every moment they might have where the pain doesn't hurt quite as bad. You see, we have become entitled and unthankful. Proverbs puts this into perspective, and maybe we need to think about our own lives and how we are living. Look at the wisdom. Of course, Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Look at the wisdom that we find in Proverbs 30, verses 8 through 9. And here He says, "Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." You see, that's a person that is recognizing the entrapments and the dangers of having too much abundance. Because we forget that we are still dependent on God. No matter how richly we are blessed, folks, it can all be taken away in a moment. We have something so much more valuable than the possessions here on this earth. God has blessed us with abundance, but isn't the giver more important than the gifts He has given? I think this explains why Jesus prayed, "Give us our daily bread and not yearly bread." so that we would look to God for our needs on a daily basis and be thankful for what He has given to us. True gratitude, I believe, to God is a recognition of several things. Number one is who God is. You recognize Him. He is higher than us. And it invokes worship to the one who is greater than we are. And it helps us to recognize how good He has been to us. Why? Because He loves us. And because He wants to be. It leads us to faith. Gratitude leads us to faith, folks. And faith in Christ that promises salvation by the grace of God. You see, gratitude looks up to God. Are you thankful in your hearts for all the things that you have? You realize that the one who's given it to you is the one who created all things? You see, it humbles us. It makes us appreciative. It strengthens our faith. And that faith that comes because God gave it to you, it's another gift that leads to salvation. And I believe there's evidence to that in verse 19. I think this man recognized these things. And Jesus said unto him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." And folks, when I research this and I look at this, when he's talking about has made you well, he's talking about his salvation. You see, he was not part of the Jewish family. He was an outsider. Yet, he made him well. Not just physically in life, but his soul was made well. He was forgiven. All 10 were healed physically. But only the grateful leper, the Samaritan, who came back to thank Jesus, was made well and received salvation. Just like Jesus told others, "Your sins be forgiven." This man was made whole. He was made well. And why? As Jesus already said, through faith. And I will remind you, I hope every day that I have the privilege to stand in this pulpit, faith is a gift from God, and I ask you, are you thankful for it? His faith made him well. What does Romans chapter 10 through 13 tell us? When you throw out all the conditions of life, no matter where you be, if you're a person living in India, if you are somehow graced and blessed to be a person living in North Korea, but somehow you know about God and you cry out to Him. Or if you're in South America or Africa or in Canada or here in North America, it doesn't matter where you are, what your condition is, what your state of life may be. The backgrounds don't matter. What matters is God looks on the heart. And Romans 10 verses 10 through 13 tells us, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, this man, this one Samaritan, who had the gratitude in his heart, only one came back. It was him. And he came back to say, "Thank you. Thank you, God, for what you have done for me." Folks, I pray all of us will be the grateful sinner who comes back to worship at the feet of Jesus and say, "Thank you." And as we read in Psalms 9, verses 1 through 2, share that faith and that gratitude. Psalms 9 says, "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice with you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High." Are you giving thanks to God and praising Him? Again, I'm going to say, it doesn't matter your circumstances. God is there. Prayer is your lifeline. Your expression of gratitude is what you say to others. How quick you are to share your faith. And let others know how thankful you are of how much God has blessed you. God looks on the heart. And if there's anything that we can do to please God, there's a few things that the Bible identifies. One of them is expressing publicly our faith. I pray that God may bless us to be humble, to be appreciative and grateful for all that He has given us, and especially our faith in Jesus Christ. Go share your personal testimony with somebody else. You may be the blessing that those people desperately need in their lives. May the Lord add His blessings to these words, my prayer. Brother Mark.